For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
I'm getting knocked down.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, it's been another eventful week in the wonderful land of the home of the free and the land of the brave, or the home of the oppressed and the land of the people that are going to go to jail if they don't agree with everything the government has to say. And on the topic of our government and how everything the government says and everything the media says is a lie, that'll be our major theme for a little bit from now. But right now, I got to talk a little bit about the solar eclipse. This is the second total solar eclipse we've had here in the last 7 years. First one in 2017, 7 years ago, came right over my farm. We had the longest totality anywhere right over our farm, and it was kind of a neat event because the sky went dark, the daylight bird stopped singing, the night bird started, the frog started croaking, the cricket started cricking, and it was pretty darn interesting. But this time we went down to New Harmony, Indiana, where some of my ancestors come from, and we watched it from what's called the roofless church, which is kind of a neat place. It's about an acre walled in with no roof on it and a big temple in the middle of it. But that's completely irrelevant to anything I have to say here today, other than the fact that there's a Democrat representative from Texas by the name of Sheila Jackson Lee. I think she was chairman of the Science and Technology Committee for the House of Representatives, all right? She's obviously a genius, because who would put somebody in charge of science and technology at the United States Congress? I mean, with power to control everything that happens out there in the world of high tech and invention and technology and NASA and all this other stuff. Who would put a person in that job who wasn't an absolute genius and with a strong background in science and strong background in technology? Well, Sheila Jackson Lee was addressing a high school, okay? High schools these days are the same as kindergarten when I was going to school, because everybody there, if they've gotten a good education based on the core curriculum that's appeals to the left, by the time they get done with high school, they can't read or write or do math on a first grade level. But, you know, there are certain things there that the average human being walking around the planet might know. There's certain things they might not know. But Sheila Jackson Lee decides to discuss with this high school the physics and the astronomy of a total solar eclipse. And she said this.
You have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon, and sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat. It is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Okie dokie. So we have the chairman of the Science and Technology Committee saying that the moon is made out of gas, okay? Saying, amongst other things, she said, was that the reason for the eclipse was that the moon was closer to the Earth than it had ever been before, and that's why it was blocking out the sun. She then says, the sun is a pretty hot place, right? And it might be difficult for us to colonize the sun, but it'd be easier to colonize the moon because the gases on the moon might allow us to do it. She said this with a straight face. You know the most frightening part of all this is? None of the high school kids burst out laughing, meaning they saw a bunch of morons themselves that they didn't realize that they were being told this incredible, pardon my language, crap by this stupid woman. But the worst part of it all is, the most amazing part of all this is she then tries to put on her eclipse glasses. Now, we all saw the eclipse glasses. They're the same thing as those 3D glasses you get at the cheesy theaters to see 3D movies. They're a piece of cardboard in the shape of glasses with a fold on either side. And you fold them, you stick them over your ears, and they stay on your head, all right? She couldn't figure out the technology of eclipse glasses. She tries and she tries. And the best part is, you know, I don't know if this was in the clip we just played, but she says to the high school kids, now when I blow my whistle, y'all go out there and you look at the eclipse and don't look up there without your glasses on, because if you do, we're going to catch you. I mean, serious about this. And so while she's trying to figure out how to put on her eclipse glasses, she keeps looking up at the sun without them on, time after time after time. And then she's got them down to the end of her nose, and she's got them over her mouth, and she's got them coming off the side of her face, and then she's got them coming off the other side of her face. And then she's sitting there looking like a complete moron, and then she turns around, finally gets them on her face. Now, she's not looking at the sun. And as everybody knows, if they've had those eclipse glasses on, when you're not looking at the sun, you cannot see a damn thing through them, because they are just as black as, I'm not going to say it, just as black as welding glasses. And she puts them on finally, and then she starts to stagger away, and she says, just pretend like you can see. Just pretend like you can see. Just pretend like you've got a brain, lady, because you sure as heck don't have one. What could possibly be the hope for America when this woman is a United States representative? But she explained it all in 5 seconds.
But I rise today as a clear recipient of affirmative action.
So this is what we get as a result of affirmative action, okay? You know, the greatest lie told the American people for the last 40 or 50 years, and it really goes back 40 or 50 years, is that diversity will make us stronger. Well, we used to be a melting pot. People used to come from all over the world, like my ancestors and probably yours, to come to America for the American dream and all pull together in the same direction to work towards a better future. Well, we're not supposed to have that melting pot anymore. Now we're supposed to have something called the solid bowl, where everybody comes into this country and goes their own way. You know how you can tell that diversity doesn't make you stronger? Think about a football game. Think about the quarterback going back to the huddle, and instead of saying, you know, giving a plan and saying on three, he says, y'all go out there. Whenever you feel like it, you start moving. Y'all move wherever you want to go, and, you know, I'll do something. I'll do whatever I want to do. I might throw the ball at one of you guys. I might go have a drink. But we'll just all go our separate ways. We'll be a solid bowl of football players, and think how many games you're going to win. And that is a big lie of diversity making us stronger. And if you don't believe it, ask Sheila Jackson Lee, and I'm sure she'll explain it to you in great detail and with absolute honesty, sincerity, and accuracy. Well, I will segue into something different. Also on the topic of everything you're told by the media, by the deep state, by the Democrats is a lie. And that's Joe Biden's entire existence. Joe Biden, the alleged president of the United States, although we all know who the real president of the United States is, virtually everything that comes out of his mouth about his background is a lie. He said he finished in the top half of his law school class. In fact, he finished 75 out of 86 in his law school class, and only then because he cheated, I suspect, because he cheats on everything. He constantly says, even to this day, that his son, Beau, died in combat in Iraq, when in fact he died of a brain cancer here in the United States of America. But little things like when your son dies and what they die of, these little details, you know, aren't important to Joe Biden, because he knows he can say whatever he wants to and the media will back him up. But one of the things we have now is we have Joe Biden's daughter's diary, the entire thing, 112 pages of her own description of her life and her history. But before I get into that, we got to go back before she was born, back because you might not recall this, but Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, with her education degree, Dr. Jill is Joe Biden's second wife, all right? What happened to Joe Biden's first wife? Well, she died in a car accident when she was 30 years old. She had Beau Biden and Hunter Biden and a Naomi Biden, who was 1 year old at the time, in the car. And the car was involved in a broadside collision with a truck hauling corn cobs. And Naomi was killed. First wife was killed. Both Beau and Hunter Biden were injured. But you never hear any of the facts of the case, right? Because you're supposed to just feel sorry for and have sympathy for Joe Biden and his surviving sons and what a horrible experience they went through. Well, here's the interesting part, right? The facts are that Joe Biden's out buying a Christmas tree. She's got the three kids in the car with her. Not Joe Biden, what I'm saying. Her name was Nelia Biden. She's got the infant, the one-year-old, on her lap, not in a car seat. Car seats existed at that time. The first regulations on car seats came out in 71, and this happened in 72. She's pulling up to a stop sign at an intersection. She's been there all the time. She's driven this same route time after time. She turns to the left, and she sees a truck coming down the road. And for whatever reason, she pulls out directly in front of the truck, gets broadsided, and all these horrible injuries, her death, daughter's death, injury to the two boys. Well, the driver of that truck was tested for blood alcohol, none. Nelia Biden is tested for blood alcohol. Guess what? Those records have been lost, all right? But what does Joe Biden say to this day? That the accident was a result of drunken driving by the driver of the truck. Absolute, total, stinking lie, okay? Just like everything Joe Biden says. But what does Joe Biden do? He had just gotten elected to the U.S. Senate. He had not been sworn in yet. He goes to the hospital where his surviving sons, Beau and Hunter, are recovering from grievous injury from this motor vehicle collision. And what does he do? He has a press conference. He gets himself sworn into the Senate in the hospital room after his wife and his daughter are killed and his two sons are in the hospital. He has a press conference and has himself sworn into the Senate from the hospital room with Ted Kennedy there and everything else. I mean, what a stinking, narcissistic, evil, self-aggrandizing piece of you-know-what this guy's got to be to capitalize on the death of his wife and his daughter for political benefit, to make some headlines, to make some pictures in the paper. Well, it gets worse than that, because now he always claims that he met Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, on a blind date. Well, Dr. Jill was married when Joe Biden met her. She was married to a guy named Bill Stevenson, all right? And as soon as they start having an affair, and by the way, the Stevensons had a brown Corvette, which was Joe Biden's favorite car, and it gets in a motor vehicle collision. Guess what? Well, Bill Stevenson is going to the guy who's going to repair the car or witness the accident and says, well, you know, how's Joe doing? Well, turns out he says, well, Joe wasn't driving the car. Who's driving the car? Senator Joe Biden's driving the car. Well, wait a second. We're told by Joe Biden that he never met Jill until a blind date after she was in the final stages of divorce from her first husband, Mr. Stevenson, except that Bill Stevenson held a fundraiser for Joe Biden when he was running for office, had Jill and Joe and Joe's first wife in his kitchen raising money for Joe Biden. I think he says $2,500 to $3,500 at a fundraiser. And that's where his wife, Jill Biden, meets Joe Biden, and they start having an affair. When Bill Stevenson finds out that Senator Joe Biden is driving the Corvette when his wife's in the accident, he calls her on the carpet, says, are you having an affair with Senator Biden? She has no response. He says, well, you got to leave. And she leaves, okay, and starts shacking up with Joe, okay? This is the kind of guy that is now ruling the free world. This is the kind of guy that wants you to vote for him. And more than that, did you hear any of this during his campaign for president? You hear any of this during any of his campaigns for president? Did you hear anything about adultery or any of this sort of thing? To make matters worse, as soon as Joe starts getting interested in Jill, Frankie Biden and Jimmy Biden come and lean on Bill Stevenson and says, give Jill the house, make her whole. And he says, are you trying to threaten me? And they said, we sure are. And guess what? Almost immediately, Bill Stevenson and his brother get indicted on $8,400 worth of tax charges. And they've been harassing him ever since. And he says, what they've done to me for 35 years is what they're doing to Donald Trump now. These are evil, terrible, horrible individuals. And that's who's running our country. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back with a little bit more about my favorite pseudo-president, Mr. Joe Biden.
Fighting against the New World Order. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. McCloskey on Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
You know what I mean. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know, according to the media, the Biden family had this kind of idyllic life that Joe Biden is devoted to his wife, Jill, and they have this great relationship with their sons. Before Bo Biden died, Joe Biden said he was the most honorable and intelligent man he'd ever met in his life. Now, of course, Joe Biden says that Hunter Biden is the most intelligent human being he's ever met in his life, and that he's proud that he's his son, okay? Here's Joe Biden. I mean, the media covers up for everything that he says, but Joe Biden has a daughter named Ashley Blazer Biden, born June 8th, 1981. This is what Wikipedia has to say about Ashley Blazer Biden. She is an American social worker, activist, philanthropist, and fashion designer. She served as the executive director of the Delaware Center for Justice from 2014 to 2019. Remember that date, 2019. Prior to her administrative role at the center, Biden worked in the Delaware Department of Services for Children, Youth, and Their Families. She founded the fashion company Living Good, which partners with online retailer Gilt Group to raise money for community programs focused on eliminating income inequality in the United States. Okay, sounds great, okay? Except the fact that we now have Ashley Blazer Biden's diary, which begins January 25th, 2019, and ends on, let me get you the exact date so I don't exaggerate or talk out of school here, September 18th of 2019. So what kind of a person, we know what kind of a person Hunter Biden is, right? He's a drug addict, a whoremonger, a liar, a tax thief, a guy who's been selling his father's influence around the world for tens of millions of dollars, a guy who represents probably the worst of all parts of humanity. After his brother, Beau, dies of a brain tumor, not in action in Iraq like his dad always lies about, but dies of a brain tumor as the former Attorney General of Delaware, what does Hunter Biden do? He starts screwing Beau's wife, okay? This is a good, healthy family environment, right? When your kids are totally screwed up, sometimes it's an indication of how they were raised. But if you had any question about that, Beau's not around to find out what kind of a screwed-up son of a gun he was. We know that Hunter Biden is the most screwed-up son of a gun you can possibly imagine. He has every possible character flaw you can imagine. But maybe his sister Ashley has been spared all of this family questionable upbringing. Well, no, it turns out she's the pick of the litter. She is just as screwed up, more so than anybody else. But you know why? Well, here's her diary, and I'll be reading from Hang on, just licked my microphone instead of my finger. This is from her diary. I'm trying to get the date this started. January the 30th of 19, she writes this. She says, I remember pulling up my skirt in the second grade and showing the boys my underpants. Quote, hyper-sexualized at a young age. What is this due to? Was I molested? I think so. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember trauma. I remember not liking the Woolsacks house, whatever the hell that is. I remember somewhat being sexualized with Caroline. I remember having sex with friends at a young age. Showers with my dad, friends, probably not appropriate, unclosed friends, being turned on when I wasn't supposed to be. Yeah, imagine this. President of the United States, by the way, imagine this was Donald Trump. Imagine that Ivanka Trump wrote a diary saying, I showered with my dad. Do you imagine what the press would have to say about that? Do you imagine you would ever hear the end of that story? Here it is. This diary has been floating around for years now. And this is you know, news now that Joe Biden's having showers with his daughter. By the way, she remembers it, which means she's old enough to remember it. She is old enough to remember being sexualized. Remembers having sex with friends at a young age. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got a sexualized child, when you've got a sexualized child that remembers having sex at a young age, this isn't a coincidence. This is because that she's being brought up in this perverse environment of the Bidens, including Joe Biden. So we go back a little bit here. We talked to different areas of her her diary. Here's one lovely statement. I broke down and numbed my feelings in cocaine. So here we got, just like Hunter, this whole diary, by the way, is a chronicle of her constant addiction to everything and her inability, I'll tell you what else, download it and read it, okay? Because you will never find a more narcissistic exercise in self aggrandizement than this diary. Every page is full of, I'm wonderful, I'm great, I've spent 3 days sober, oops, I backed off, oops, this is day three of my new sobriety, oops, oh, I failed again, oops, now it's day four, but I'm a wonderful person, I've got all these great talents, I've got all these great skills. And then here's another one. My sex drive is out of effing control. Like, literally, I'm in heat, okay? There's a nice statement for a young lady to make. By the way, she's in her 30s during this, and she's married, okay? But this book, she's having sex with everybody, okay? And then complaining twice or three times in this diary, she complains that her husband, Howard, is having sex with other women. And she's saying, but of course, I'm having sex with everybody, too. But it still ain't right. I think I need to have sex in order to feel good about not having sex. I'll read that again. This is exactly what she wrote. I think I need to have sex in order to feel good about not having sex and to get it over with. Neil's friend is a sex addict, which might work out well. I know it's not the healthy way to deal with things, but at least it's better than drugs. All right. I hate to laugh, but I mean, this. Did you hear any of this in the media? Okay. I keep relapsing, and I just can't this time around. I need to stay sober long enough to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I keep relapsing over and over again. The longest period of sobriety as in almost a year. That is horribly painful due to the diagnosis. I haven't been sober in so effing long, and I need to get sober and stay this way. Nice young lady. Let's see. Oh, wait, I missed this one, because we're always told that the Bidens are this close, loving family, and they have this integral relationship where they're all open and honest and close to each other. Here she is. My mother's not emotionally available. My father was, message. I could get love from men. Quote, I'm not your mother, unquote. That's Joe Biden being quoted there. Here it is. My mom worked me up this weekend. I grounded myself and I breathed, it actually worked. My system is off, but getting adjusted to this new medications, getting adjusted to my new medications. All right. I'm pissed, freaking out, acting insane, thinking of Howard, my husband, with another woman, exclamation point. It's actually not fair and not right. I've been with other men, and it's just not fair at all right? I do think that he uses much more than he should and could have a slight problem. A slight problem. All right. All the attention, all the trust went out the window the day that Howard went ahead with a feeding tube. I have forgiven, but I don't think that I'm able to get it back. All right, let's see what other fun stuff we have here. I'm finished with my work here in Delaware. I do know this. This place is no longer safe for me or my sobriety. Maybe I can see if my parents would give me a loan. Wait a second. According to Wikipedia, she's a philanthropist. Throughout this diary, she's talking about chronically being broke, trying to borrow money from people, trying to get something to pay her bills. Maybe I can see if my parents would give me a loan. Well, hell, Joe, you're taking tens of millions of dollars from foreign dignitaries. Maybe you could help your drug addict daughter off a little bit, you know, maybe kick in a few bucks for her rent, maybe get her a car. Here we go. I relapsed. Effing up again. Insanity is a definition, always hoping it will be different. It never is. Stuck in this cycle of F my fall, repeat. It's insanity at its worst. Women's Divas meeting in the AM, met with my sponsor. Not sure what that is. It's been 4 days without one, 3 days without the other. That's her brag about how long she's been off drugs and alcohol then that day, I guess. Going to start working on the program, following all recommendations. Sober, day number 4. Beating the drug test or using around it. It's about using the test as an additional safeguard, which I'm open to, with the understanding that medical-grade marijuana might also be in my system. I have to do this not to avoid getting caught or failing, but because I do it intrinsically and internally. Okay, telling about how she likes to cheat the drug test. Started lying about addiction since age 13. Blatant, yes. Always. All right. So she's only been a drug addict since she's 13. I mean, her parents have no responsibility for that. I mean, a lot of 13-year-olds are drug addicts. Let's see what we have here. Oh, this is 9/5/19, near the end of the diary. Second day on the women's unit. She's in a lockdown rehab at this point. I'm going to have a hard time reading this one because it's in a different pen that's very difficult to read. I realized the pain that was caused today. Funny how things surface. It's been a long while since I've been sober for 14 days. And then she finishes her diary on 9/18/19, and she says she doesn't need to write a diary anymore because she's fixed. She's solved all her problems. Her addiction's no longer an issue. She's been sober for 14 days after being a drug addict since she's 13. But now it's all over, and she's cured. Well, drug addiction is a serious problem. My own mother was a chronic alcoholic and could never beat it. And so I'm not making fun of people who are addicted to substances. But I can tell you this. I am beating up the system that has hidden all this from the American people for all this time. You got Joe Biden, who's a pathological liar. He lies about every aspect of his life. He plagiarized papers when he was in law school. He lies about how he met his wife. He lied about how his first wife died. He uses the death of his first wife for political advantage. He lies about where, when and under what circumstances his son Bo died. He worships his son Hunter, and why shouldn't he? Because Hunter has arranged for millions of dollars of money to be distributed to the Biden family. And while he's running for president, the Hunter laptop comes out showing all these horrible things about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and taking bribes as the big guy and millions of dollars worth of transactions, and it's hidden from you. It is censored. It is hidden from you to control the outcome of the election. You got this daughter's diary that shows that Joe Biden is some kind of sick pedophile, that he has created a family life which was a living hell, that Joe Biden is distant and unattentive, that Joe Biden says, look, I'm not your mother, that the daughter is living in poverty and living in under horrible circumstances of drug addiction and sex addiction and unfulfilled life and all these kinds of things, and saying, maybe my parents could loan me some money. Well, how horrible of a human being can Joe Biden be to have generated this spiraling quagmire of despair of his family, his son and his daughter, and doing nothing about it? How can you have a daughter, first of all, that you're having showers with when she's old enough to remember it, B, having sex with all her friends at a young age, C, wanting to either have sex or drugs or both to fulfill the emptiness in her soul and in her life, and having absolutely no parents to rely on. In fact, expressly saying over and over again how her parents aren't there for her. And then, to make matters worse, when she's down and out, read this in the diary, when she's down and out, she's having horrible troubles with her addiction and her poverty and everything else, she's worried that it's troubling Joe. She's worried that her problems are being a burden on her dad, that the presidential debates are coming up, and she's upset with herself for causing worry on her father, and that might adversely affect his political outcome. What a stinking, narcissistic, self-centered, horrible human being Joe Biden is. If you vote for him, you get what you deserve. Well, I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk about something even worse.
Join Mark McCloskey in the battle against globalism. You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who are my age and older might remember September 24th, 1965. The president of the United States was Lyndon Baines Johnson, who, by the way, faked his election to the U.S. Senate, too. So this corruption on the Democrat side of faking elections goes back a long ways. On September 24th, 1965, President Johnson issued an executive order creating what we now call affirmative action, requiring federal entities and state employers to create diversity, equity, and inclusion by giving preferences to minorities in contracts and in hiring and everything else. And when I talked earlier about the great lie of diversity making us stronger, this was the first official proclamation of that. Well, so what have we had since? 1965, 75, 85, 95, 2005, 2015, almost 60 years now, 59 years of diversity, equity, inclusion. What has it generated in the United States? What has it done to our society to make us stronger? Well, I'll tell you what it's done. It's created a chaos and a disorder and an environment of hate, an environment of violence, which was virtually inconceivable prior to 1965. And, you know, I'm going to show you some clips here today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like violence, if you don't like seeing what's really going on out there in the world today, if you don't like seeing what public schools are like in this country and what public school teenagers are like in this country, then you should go somewhere else, because I'm going to show you what schools are like these days, what teenagers are like these days, and what this culture of violence and culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion has generated. The first one I'm going to show you, this is St. Louis. This is about a month and a half ago. This is Kaylee Gaines. Don't want to misname her. Kaylee Gaines. This is a young lady whose head was smashed into the pavement during a fight outside her school. Fractured skull, life totally changed. And what do we see here? And you'll see the same thing in every one of these clips. You will see people videoing the fight, videoing this attempted murder, and laughing about it and encouraging it and goading it on. And then here's one. This is Greenwich, Connecticut, a couple of days ago. This is at a public park on the shore in Greenwich, Connecticut. Where do all the rich people live? Greenwich, Connecticut. But even Greenwich, Connecticut has public schools with public school kids. This is a brawl. And a white girl's being beaten by black kids, okay? And at some point, after she suffers a significant beating, she sits up and says, "Hit me again, you," and uses the N-word. And then they go berserk and beat her unconscious.
The brawl is brutal. A teenage girl on the receiving end of a barrage of blows delivered by multiple attackers. The Snapchat caption hints to a racially charged motive. She said the N-word got hopped. It happened Tuesday night in Byron Park in Greenwich. It's unclear how the brawl started, but during a lull, the victim sits up and defiantly says, "Hit me again."
What?
Her use of the N-word results in a second round of violence.
And so then we go to Raleigh, Southeast Raleigh High School. Two kids stabbed, one fatally, one non-fatally, in their school, in the gymnasium.
A student is dead tonight and another is hurt after being stabbed in school. Good evening, everyone. I'm Rod Carter.
I'm Angela Taylor. Thanks for being here. Police say a student is responsible. And new tonight, we've received video of the moments leading up to the fight at Southeast Raleigh High School. You see students running into the school's gym. You can see one student jabbing a silver object into a group of people surrounding them. I know it's hard to see through the chaos. We blurred some of the portions of the video, of course, because juveniles are involved.
And then Philadelphia, a riot. Total of 14 different kids arrested eventually, but just a riot, a fight going on under circumstances where you just cannot imagine that this is what goes on in a high school in America.
Cell phone video capturing this violent scene at Abington Senior High School. Eight students were arrested. Tonight, the investigation continues as police try to determine how the melee started and why.
This is one of the videos police are using in the course of the investigation. The fight ended with eight arrests, but no serious injuries, in part thanks to Abington Police's school resource officers' quick reactions.
Then here's Washington, D.C. itself. Here's a brawl breaking out at another high school. And just the whole concept of this violence and rage and animalistic disregard for human quality, human life, human existence, just a terrifying display of absolutely animalistic behavior.
We're talking about the Prince George's County Public School System confirming 10 fights in just one school in one day alone. It happened yesterday at Charles H. Flowers High School in Springdale. Look at this disturbing video posted to one social media account called Flowers Rampage.
And then here's another one, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. 100 teens involved in a fight. We're all going on and on and on and on.
Hey, And now at 6, fists fly at a South Florida high school. And tonight, officials say about 100 students were involved in the massive brawl. The chaotic scene broke out in the middle of the courtyard of Fort Lauderdale High School.
CBS 4's Joan Murray joins us now with a troubling video and what school officials say happened.
Chaos in the courtyard of Fort Lauderdale High School around lunch hour. Students pulling out their cell phones to record fight after fight. Fists flying, security wrestling students to the ground.
Like a WWE, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody hop out there, everybody, like, whoever you don't like, you just start hitting them. So that's how it was going out there for real. Like, it was going crazy.
I heard screaming and I was like, man, is that screaming?
Amaya Wilson and Robert Miller were in the courtyard when it started.
And we literally see dust in the air. First we thought it was smoke, but it was dirt from the ground from people fighting on the ground. I call it a mosh pit. People were getting slammed. Someone got their head smashed. The whole side of their face was bleeding. And all of this resulted from like petty drama.
Adding to the drama, the school went into lockdown. That meant doors were locked, and some students ended up banging on the doors to be let inside.
And then my favorite one. This just happened a couple of days ago. This is a clip in high school where the fight breaks out, and the kids go at each other. And I say kids, but these people are murderous, enraged monsters. And what do we see in this clip? We see the fight going on and on and on. What do you see? You see school safety officers trying to intervene and being unable to do so. You see these kids attacking the guards. And at one point, the guards turning around to try to address one issue. And you can hear somebody say, don't you be throwing that laptop. And the laptop comes over the top of the cop's head and hits the next girl in the back. And the fight goes on and on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, how would you like to be a teacher in that environment? How would you like to be trying to address reading, writing, and arithmetic to a group of these just, and there's not a word to say it. These are not human beings. These are not kids. These are raging animals that have been taught to behave this way. When I say taught to behave this way, I mean it expressly. They have been expressly taught by the purveyors of diversity, equity, and inclusion that this is appropriate behavior. I'm going to read you from a work on diversity, equity, and inclusion, school norms and reforms, critical race theory, and the fairy tale of equitable education. This is an article written to demonstrate how white supremacy and white privilege affects the people of color, assuming that they are not attempting to act white, but people of color, and specifically telling the world that things that represent traditional values are evidence of white supremacy and white privilege. One example is a meritocratic a mandate of individuals overcoming limitations and pulling oneself up by one's bootstraps, which dismisses unsuccessful reforms and instead blames individual students, teachers, and schools for their failures. High academic ability and achievement, particularly measurable achievements such as high test scores or meeting college entrance criteria, is another characteristic attributed to whiteness. Quietness, orderliness, and courteousness are the types of behavior especially valued in educational settings and even radically enforced in the, quote, totalizing environments, unquote, of privatized charter schools and minority communities. In other words, quietness, orderliness, and courteousness are signs of white privilege. There are signs that you've been enslaved, that you have adopted those characteristics that create this pervasive oppression of the poorer minorities. Okay, so what does this teach people? Two things. You've taught now three generations of kids that their failure is not a result of any personal activity on their part. Their failure isn't a failure to strive hard to try to improve themselves. Their failure is a result of white people oppressing them. Next, they're told that obeying, sitting quietly, paying attention, being courteous, being nonviolent is white and therefore bad, that these are characteristics and behaviors imposed upon you by your oppressors. And in order to become unoppressed, you have to divest yourself of those trappings of Western culture. You have to divest yourself of self-control. You have to divest yourself of civility. You have to divest yourself of nonviolence. You have to act out, because only by acting out will you free yourself from white oppression, from white supremacy. And only then can you be totally free. Free to what? Free to get no education, free to go to prison, free to become a violent criminal, free to try to kill people, free to have unlimited danger in your life, free to have a short, unhappy life riddled with violence and ending in early death. This is what diversity, equity, and inclusion guarantees for people of color, as they like to say, because they're being taught that this is what they need to do to cast off the yoke of white privilege and white supremacy. And this is what caused all this. And you know, you teach people to be angry. You teach people to act out. You teach people to violently oppose what they've been told is their oppressor. And you're surprised that this happened? I mean, this is absolutely what the left wants. Why does the left want this? Because out of chaos comes tyranny. If you take people's ability to succeed in the world, if you take their ability to prosper, if you take their hope for the future away from them, if you tell them you have no control over your own outcomes, and you're a helpless, hopeless, frightened, angry person, what do? You ask someone else to help you. Who's that someone else going to be? The government. There's nothing that the powers that be that are seeking the single world socialist government, there's nothing they want more than a defenseless, frightened, angry population that is hopeless, despondent, and constantly acting out in violence. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to recognize that. We have to have the fortitude to recognize what's going on and say we have to stop it, and we have to stop it right stinking now. Your eyes about it.
Fighting against totalitarianism. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
When you hear the music, you make a dip into someone else's pocket, then make a slip. Steal a car and go to Las Vegas.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.